All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Free Terrible Gamers Podcast. I'm your host, Colin, here with Ashton.
Hey guys.
And a special guest, Terrible Gamer, Mr. Graham.
Howdy, y'all. I'm from Toronto, Canada. How y'all doing today?
All right. We'll start off with the gaming news, and we'll get to all of his stuff later on in the episode.
Oh, yeah. We got some tea to spill, but first, we have some games to talk about.
That is correct. Samsung revealed a foldable console at MWC.
Go ahead, Graham. Mm-hmm. You can talk about it.
It looks like the Nintendo Switch, to be honest with you.
Basically, yeah.
I hope they don't get sued.
No Nintendo, it's up for debate.
That's true, especially since the Switch 2 is coming out this year.
Yeah, definitely.
But the article I have, it says, for a phone show, there's an awful lot of cool non-phone stuff at Mobile World Congress this year. And then it says, goes on to say, Samsung Display, of course, a display manufacturer. So for these concepts are just that. They are demonstrations of what screens could maybe possibly do in the hands of other manufacturers. So obviously with this handheld, they'll make their own display. But it says there's really not a whole lot on it besides that they, you know, revealed it. But obviously, they'll make their own display, save time on that and money. But
yeah, I think this one specifically is like a Galaxy Z Flip variant. And they had a couple of them, actually. They had they had like one that was like the size of a briefcase and worked like a briefcase, too, with a screen, OLED. But this one was kind of, I know Graham said it looked like a Switch, but it was foldable, so I kind of like a combination between like the Game Boy SP and a Switch is what I seen for it.
Game Boy SP, DS.
We're Game Boys.
Technically true.
Mm-hmm.
Technically true. Never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
He's out dad joking me, and I don't even think he has a kid yet.
Nope. Someday I will. Hopefully.
All right. On to the next one. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 and 4 release date drop.
I'm not too familiar with skateboarding things, but I know who Tony Hawk is. He's the icon of skateboarding.
For sure. That's about all I know about skateboarding, too.
Same. Yeah. I do like the games, though.
It looks pretty cool from what I've been seeing. I like the graphics and the character designs. Heck, even the cover looks cool.
Yeah.
It's a revamp of the original cover, isn't it?
I believe. Kind of like 1 and 2 was, just they've all had similar art styles.
It's kind of hard to go different in, I mean, yeah, you can do different moves in skateboarding, but typically you have the one or two major shots that most people do.
Right. Yeah.
Understandable.
But it says, after 5 years, the Tony Hawk Pro Skater franchise is finally kick-flipping its way back into the spotlight as Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 and 4 was recently revealed. Similar to 2020's Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2, these are enhanced remake versions of the extreme skateboarding games that feature overhauled graphics and familiar gameplay. Ahead of its release in July, we've gathered up everything that we know about the game so far. From its release date through the tracks, you'll be tapping your feet. Anyway, we'll skip ahead. It says Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 and 4 will launch on July 11th. Pre-orders for the Deluxe and Collector's Edition will unlock early access, allowing fans to jump in 3 days early starting July 8th. And then we already discussed that it would be on last-gen and current-gen consoles, so Xbox One, PS4, Xbox Series, and PS5, as well as PC.
Oh, nice.
One good thing about them games, they always have good soundtracks.
That is true.
Yeah. Every good game needs a good soundtrack.
I have no doubt about it. I mean, that sometimes that's only... I said it like very beginning of like when we first started this podcast, but sometimes I just play games for the music.
Yeah. As one of my professors said, music is one of the most important things about TV and film. And he didn't mention video games, but I'm sure that's probably what he meant as well.
Yeah, for sure, definitely.
I mean, in a technical standpoint, I wouldn't differ too far from a video game from like a movie score and everything else for as far as like music goes. Typically, if the movie has a good score, then it's going to score well with audiences or whatever, and it's going to work the same way with video games as well.
But it goes on to say that the standard edition is priced at $50, digital deluxe edition is $70, and collector's edition is $130.
Wow. American dollars.
Yes, U.S. dollars. I don't know what that is in Canadian dollars, but it's a little bit more, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
If it's anything from what I've seen on like the back of like books or whatever, there's usually about a $5 difference in between U.S. and Canadian dollars. I'm sure there's some sort of weird percentage of the actual thing and the actual base of what each dollar is. Just used to talk about U.S. dollars. I'm not used to having a Canadian on the other side of the line.
Speaking of video game music, do you know the YouTuber Tarvold's Quest?
I do not.
He invites mostly YouTubers who game who love music and ask them trivia about various music from various video game consoles all the way back to before we were born to now. He's already on season 5. And I highly recommend that you two should probably be on his, or one of you at least should be on his show.
Yeah, might try reaching out, see if he'll even consider talking to us.
I think he'll like you. I mean, I think he'll like y'all. Yeah, because you're mighty fine.
We'll see. That might be a bridge we eventually go down, but at the moment, well, I don't think we're that big if he's been around for 5 seasons.
He hasn't been around for you too much, about 4 years.
4 years. This year will make 3 years we've been doing a podcast. So.
Don't know where near your 10-year mark for YouTube.
You'll reach 10 years for a podcast. I believe in y'all.
Yeah, plan on doing it till I'm dead.
That's the spirit.
How soon that is, I don't know. Or I don't think anyone else does. But
hopefully a long time.
See. Hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If not, I'm sure there's other terrible gamers out there.
Oh, yeah. We know at least two other ones.
Yeah. Hey.
Oh. So Sony is going to try to start renting out PS5 consoles.
That sounds weird. Running out their own consoles? Like, what, why?
To me, I mean, it's weird, but it kind of makes sense. But it's also could be risky too, you know, because are they going to come and repo the PS5 if you stop paying on it? Or they just put charges on your credit card and then, or well, I don't know how they would go about if you just stop paying them or don't return it.
I don't know. It's a weird concept for sure. I mean, I know there's obviously places, at least over here, like Rent-A-Center and Aaron's, that, you know, people would go out, because that's how I got my Switch whenever it first came out, was through Rent-A-Center, not a sponsor. But, you know, just in general, that's the same concept, but PlayStation's using their own third party instead of a retailer situation like that. But right here is what the actual article says. It says PlayStation has teamed up with Raylo to launch a service through which gamers can rent the newest consoles and accessories. The range includes PlayStation 5s, PlayStation Portal, and even the PS5 Pro. However, when you step back and take a look at the bigger picture, it might not be worth it in the long run. The lease with Flex program launched this week. Although it appears to be limited to certain regions for time being, the team up with Raylo is available in the UK, while a similar program is running in Japan. The program has already proven to be very popular in Japan with everything PlayStation made available having. And I think it's supposed to be coming over here soon in America.
It makes sense for it to have started in Japan and then go over to the UK, because obviously Sony's a Japanese company. But I don't know. It's just weird. I mean, to be fair, a PS5 Pro costs $700, so they should do something to make it maybe a little easier to get.
Well, how many of them are going to be available, though? Like how it was when they first came out. Because of the PS Pro, can you just go out to Walmart and see them? Because I ain't noticed one since they released.
I haven't seen one either. But, I mean, I don't live in a big city. I'd say if you go to a big city, you know, you'll probably be able to find one. But the rural areas get them usually last.
You don't live in big cities?
No.
No.
Where have y'all been these mighty fine days?
Well, we start out in one, well, poorest city in the state we lived in a technicality. Well, poorest county in the state that we initially lived in, so there's that, not a big city at all. And then we just moved our separate ways and still decided not to go to big cities. I just don't like the hustle and bustle of, you know, actual city life.
I've drove to Pittsburgh the best 2 weeks and I hated every second of it.
Pittsburgh. Home of the Penguins.
Yep.
Are you a fan of traffic? Since you live in a bigger city?
Am I a fan of what?
Traffic, since you live in a bigger city, because that's the only thing you get down here is traffic in bigger cities.
Traffic is traffic. Nobody likes traffic. No one loves angry drivers.
That's for sure.
You go to the city, that's all there are, just mad people everywhere. And then that makes me mad. So
I don't know about y'all, but sometimes mostly my dad gets a little crazy when he drives. But it's entertaining to me, in my opinion, even though he's mad at times.
I hear you.
Do y'all parents yell and it's entertaining to you? When they see angry drivers or not really?
Sometimes. Not every time.
Yeah, not every time. You're right.
I'll be honest, somebody
messes with smart one, Pikachu.
All right. YouTube launching cheaper version of YouTube Premium.
Not in Canada, unfortunately. Oh.
That is true. Not in Canada.
No.
So I had YouTube Premium for a while, and then I just said, screw it, and I'm not paying for it anymore.
Screw you, YouTube.
But it says YouTube, the Google-owned video streaming platform, has introduced Premium Lite, a new subscription plan offering users a budget-friendly option to watch ad-free content priced at $7.99 per month. The new plan is currently only available for users in the United States, like we said. It will be available in other regions in the coming weeks.
So you're probably just around the corner.
Yeah.
No, I'm up north. I'm not around the corner.
That's also true. I mean, you are kind of catty corner because I don't think it's a straight shot to each city here.
Meow, catty? What do you mean?
But yeah, I'm actually surprised that they're doing a premium light version. Because I figured they'd just be like, oh, screw it, go big or go home. You're either going to pay for
it. Especially being owned by Google. Google, you know, they don't care if you're poor or not.
I'm just curious how it would necessarily work. Like, I know obviously it benefits Google/YouTube on that situation, but how would that actually affect, like, the YouTubers at play? Because obviously, once you're past X amount of subscribers, you can set ads to your videos. Don't you rely on the ads for your potential income?
Understandable. I respect that.
So I'm just curious, because do they might kick out a chunk to the actual YouTubers that their videos are getting played on from the person that bought the premium? Or premium light in this case.
Good point.
I said, I'm all about looking out for the little people. That's what my curiosity is in this.
The teeny tiny people.
Granted, I am terrible at games and what I do, so I didn't go to bother look and what percentage is the YouTuber going to actually miss out if somebody has premium watching their videos?
Yeah, I don't know how that works, because obviously I know YouTubers make money from the ads. So I don't know if you paying for premium, if Google gives them a percentage of that because they're losing out on ads, which I seriously doubt because it's Google. But daylight savings time can hit you so, so hard. What if you could regain the energy you lost from the time change?
5-hour energy has made 1-hour energy a tiny pick-me-up for getting through the day ahead. Tiny bottle, big energy.
Like me, you may feel daylight savings time feels like the worst day of the year. Thanks to the new 1-hour energy shot from 5-hour energy, it won't.
It's not the same as the 5-hour energy you already know. This one is specifically designed for that extra boost. This is a targeted boost for when you need it most.
Check out the 1-hour energy shot and conquer your day. Visit 5hourenergy.com to find a retailer near you and try the limited time 1-hour energy shot. One less hour in the day. Challenge accepted.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Very interesting indeed, YouTube.
All right. So Neil Druckmann comments on Last of Us 3 rumors. Now, Graham, did you ever play any of the Last of Us series?
No.
You're missing out.
I'm not too familiar with The Last of Us.
You didn't even watch the TV series?
No.
Okay.
I think my parents did, if I'm not mistaken. It rings a bell a little bit.
About zombies.
Fungus zombies. Oh, yeah, I think real life fungus.
Mm-hmm.
Because Cordyceps does exist in this world.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
So it could happen in real life.
In theory.
Definitely.
But it says this week saw Variety interview Neil Druckmann and Craig Mazin about the upcoming season of The Last of Us. Towards the end of the article, Druckmann dropped a bit of news about Naughty Dog's work on The Last of Us Part 3, or its lack thereof. I was waiting for this question, Druckmann said when asked about the long discussed, but as of yet, still hypothetical sequel. He said, I guess the only thing I would say is don't bet on there being more of The Last of Us. That could be it. So
yeah, there could even be. Oh, sorry.
No, I was just going to ask, do you think he's talking about that on a gaming side or on the series side? Like, this is the last season of The Last of Us, or we're not going to get a part three, or both? Since he said, don't bet on any more Last of Us, period.
Who knows? We'll have to find out.
Yeah.
Maybe for both, actually, not just for one.
Yeah, because the first game and the first season and series were pretty much hand in hand. Which means season two comes out, I think, next month, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, April. I believe I said. Yep, April.
So, and that should take place from Last of Us 2, the game, if they follow the footsteps of the thing. I mean, who knows, they could come out with something completely different from the game series and do their own little spinoff or whatever, like, story-wise, story-based. But, I mean, the rumors have been going around for a while. I know we've covered the rumors a few times,
for part three.
But this is the first time we've got an official statement from the producers.
We've talked about a rumor saying part three was in development, and also a Tommy spinoff, if I do believe. I was talking about that one time.
Yeah, because it wasn't going to be following Ellie in this one. It was going to be something completely different.
Right.
I don't know. I'll go out on a limb since we did talk about it with it technically being in development because it was covered by, you know, Game Rant, GameSpot, PC Gamer, all those different websites in the past. I'm going to go out on a limb and say he was probably talking about the series on this one.
The series.
Yeah, I think so. I agree.
Which it kind of does make sense for this. If the series follows the games hand in hand, like you said, the series would come out before the game would. Mm-hmm. So that's why the series would end before the new game comes out, because if they have nothing to go off of, they don't want to spoil the game with the series before the game comes out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or they don't even have their actual concept for the series yet because the game isn't out.
Right.
It's based on whatever.
Which is a shame because it is a good series. It's really, like, it follows the game very closely. There are a few things that are different, but pretty close for a I mean, closer than almost any other video game adaptation out so far.
Yeah.
Yep. I totally understand and agree on that.
All right. Got the final topic of the day. PS3 gets a surprise update 19 years after the console released.
I'll let you two do your thing first. I want to do mine at the end.
Okay.
I have a PS3.
All right. Fair. All right.
By the way, Last of Us came out on PS3 initially. That's the original Last of Us came out on PS3.
It did. But Sony releases a surprise new update for the PlayStation 3 on March 5th, which time of recording was 3 days ago. The latest software update brings the PS3 to version 4.92 with improved system performance. Update 4.92 also renews the Blu-ray player encryption key for the console, allowing users to continue using the disk drive. And It's not mentioned in the patch notes, but if I had to guess, it has something there to patch some things from the modding community as well, so it's harder to hack your PS3. Could be wrong on that, but I'm sure that's something Sony would sneak in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what I got on the topic was, while the latest software update doesn't exactly make an exciting improvement to the console, it is important one all players should download and install if they want to continue using any sort of disc. While the company's latest console, the PS4 and PS5, also have Blu-ray players, they do not need to receive system updates to renew their encryption keys. But with that being said, both the PS4 and PS5 still receive new updates regularly. Sony recently announced that it was testing new firmware patch for the PS5, which will include some minor improvements, such as easier activity viewings, Unicode 16.0 emojis, and various system performance enhancements. So I wonder if it was a slight test for that put on our console that's not really used as much anymore, to be able to test out what they can put out on our newer consoles and not crash.
Possibly.
Are you ready for my story?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm ready.
Okay, so since it's the new year 2025, I was highly, highly expecting the data update and the installation to be less than a minute, but both the data update and the installation took over 2 minutes to download, which I didn't really like, because it's we're in the new freaking year. It should be much faster. We're now into AI, people. Come on, faster, faster. But I didn't recognize any changes.
Okay, so nothing significant really happened except still slow on downloads.
Yeah. Sony, you didn't waste my time, by the way. I loved that you updated the PS3, because I still use it.
Good.
Okay. I can get behind that. I ain't had a PlayStation. Right since, just say, I ain't had a PlayStation 3 at all. The last one I had was a PS2.
I have a PS3. Actually, back here on the shelf, I have a PS1, PS2, and PS3. Right there.
Ashton's a collector.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that is all the time we have, and topics anyway, so not really getting away from that. Graham, you want to tell them where they can find you at on everything?
Well, yeehaw, I might as well tell y'all where to find me. Okay, deep breath. I'm on YouTube, Graham Giancola, Snapchat, GJiancola48, LinkedIn, Graham Giancola, Xbox, if you have Xbox One, GCG13. My PlayStation 3 code, I'll drop it down in the comments. And you can find my interview with these mighty fine boys on Vibing with G on YouTube. My social media will be linked down in the bottom of the video, and their social media will be linked down in the bottom as well.
Yep. And as far as you guys know, our typical, it's can find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and we got merch on Redbubble and TeePublic, and I think that's it.
Yeah, Graham, we appreciate you, and guys, we'll catch you next week.
I appreciate y'all.
Enjoyed having you
on here. Sure. Thanks so much, guys.
Later, guys.
Later.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.